Okay, so then once we've gotten the teachings, we want to try and meditate properly. And so here what we want to try and do is overcome the five obscurations that hinder the generation of concentration. So these five, of the first one, okay, the first one has two parts. One part is excitement, and the other part is like regret. So actually, instead of excitement, I like the translation of restlessness better. Okay? Because when we're restless, it's definitely an obstacle to concentrating, isn't it? Okay? The body's restless, you can't sit still, you're itching, you're twitching, you want to get up and move, okay? Maybe you've taken too much caffeine, maybe you've, you know, whatever it is, because it takes a while for the body to calm down so you can sit still. But the body's restless, and or the mind is restless. You know, the mind that just kind of, it's like a kid that runs here and runs there and runs here and runs there, and it's just like all over the place. Yeah, anybody experience that? No, not you. Yeah? Which comes first, your body and your mind? You have to balance them. Because if every time your body's uncomfortable, you try and make your body comfortable, you're never going to be comfortable. You know, because, well, I can't sit in this position, I gotta stretch this leg out, then you sit like that. No, I gotta sit in a chair. No, the chair's not comfortable, I have to lie down. No, my back hurts when I lie down, I have to sit up. You know, it's like if you try and do this, it's completely useless to make your body completely comfortable. Okay, but trying to do some macho trip of, I'm gonna sit here and face the pain. You know, and it's killing me, and I can't do anything else but sit here because I'm so achy. That's really stupid, too. Okay? So what we need is some kind of balance. Yeah? When the pain is too intense, shift the body. Okay? But don't shift the body every time it's uncomfortable, because you'll be shifting the body every 30 seconds. Yeah? And don't try not to form bad habits, you know, like leaning against the wall, unless you have a physical disability. You know, if you have a physical disability, lean against the wall, do what you need to do. But if you don't have a physical disability, try and train your mind, you know, your back muscles slowly to sit up straight. Okay? You know? And so it's good here to make short meditation sessions. Don't make your sessions too long. So make a short one, and then if you need to, stand, walk around the room once, sit down, and then do another session. Don't stand, go in the other room, turn on the TV for 10 minutes, and come back. That's not such a good idea. Okay? Okay, so the restless body, the restless mind. Okay, the mind that hears this sound, that hears that sound, that smells this, that's thinking about that, that's going here and going there. You know, the mind that hears one thing and then starts building a story on it. Okay, the mind that just wanders. It's restless, agitated, berserking. Huh? So we should try and calm that down. So that has to do with, you know, cultivating this mind of introspective alertness, where we know what's going on in our mind, so that if the restlessness comes up, we're able to identify it, and then renewing our mindfulness and bringing ourselves back to our object of concentration. Okay. And in this light also, it's good, you know, if you're having a lot of problems with physical restlessness, you know, to make sure you're getting enough exercise and to do some yoga or do tai chi, do something with your body. I think that is quite helpful. But also be patient, because it does take a while for the whole energy in your body to change so that you can sit still. Okay, so be patient, but continue to work on it. Yeah. And it could be helpful to look at what you're eating, you know, because if you're eating a lot of sugar, it might cause some distraction, give you a big sugar rush and a big sugar letdown in your meditation. Caffeine, I don't know about you guys, but caffeine, coffee, you know, not so much tea, but coffee is just like, you know. It's very good before, you know, Lama Zopa teaches, but, you know, otherwise it just, make you wired. So you know, see if that's contributing at all to the restlessness. And then the other part of this one is regret. So this could be, you know, regret of past negative actions, something like this. You know, so when you have a lot of regret over past negative actions, that prevents you from, you know, concentrating on what you're concentrating on because you're feeling so remorseful for what happened in the past. That kind of regret is good because it leads us to purification. But it's better not to do the negative actions in the first place because then we don't get the regret that distracts us. Okay? That's a positive kind of regret. Another kind of more, a negative kind of regret is when you're sitting there kind of regretting being there to start with. Like, why am I doing this retreat? Why am I doing this meditation? You know, I really regret sitting here. I'd much rather do something else. Okay? Or a kind of brooding mind where you just sit and brood. You know, the mind's kind of remorseful and brooding and, you know. So that becomes an obstacle too. So it's very helpful, you know, when you're having these kinds of things to try and understand where they're coming from too. You can't just kind of say, don't have them, but see where they're coming from. If it's some kind of regret from past negative actions, do purification. If it's regretting being there and doing the retreat, then instead meditate on the advantages of doing the retreat. Okay? If you're just kind of brooding in general, then kind of maybe sit and watch that brooding and see what's motivating it. See what's behind it, what the mind is up to. And do some research on it. Then you might get some clarity how to dispel it. Okay? So those two together are the first of the five obstructions. Don't ask me why they put two completely different things as one. I haven't figured it out. Okay. Then the second one is harmful thought. So here is our old friend maliciousness again. Okay? Ill will, wanting revenge, wanting to get even, wanting to retaliate, you know, this mind again that is thinking of, you know, harmful thoughts towards other people. So here the antidote would be to meditate on loving kindness, on patience, all those antidotes for, you know, to anger. Then the third one is sleep and dullness. Oh, recurring patterns here keep coming, huh? Okay. So the sleepy mind, this becomes a clear obstacle when you're trying to meditate and concentrate. You're meditating and then, you know. So antidotes to that are first try and sleep the right amount. If you sleep too much, you're often more tired. Okay? If you only sleep 3 hours a night, then you're often tired. So try and sleep a correct amount. Also, they really recommend going to bed earlier and waking up at, you know, at dawn or just before dawn if you can, rather than staying up all night and then sleeping until like 11 o'clock and then getting up. You know, because the mind somehow it's fresher in the morning, all the day's activities, the environment is much calmer in the morning, better for meditation. And get yourself on some kind of even schedule of sleeping so that it's not, you know, 4 hours one night and 10 hours the other night and back and forth and in and out. But, you know, if you can be on some, you know, basic sort of general schedule. Okay, and then dullness is when you're meditating and you're not sleeping, but the mind is definitely getting heavy. Okay, and so when the mind gets heavy, the clarity of the mind really goes down. You can't be very clear because it's like you visualize the Buddha. You know, when your mind's really alert, the colors kind of, everything just seems kind of bright and vivid, or you have some kind of buoyant feeling in your mind when you're meditating. When it's heavy, it's like everything's kind of collapsing inward. Yeah. So here, the antidote is to think about something that is positive that will uplift your mind. So think about the Buddha nature. Think about the qualities of the Triple Gem. Think about the precious human life and our fortune in receiving one, the advantages of it. So something that will uplift the mind and dispel the dullness. Yeah, restlessness. Well, I said for the physical restlessness, walk or get some exercise or watch the restlessness. You know, don't just kind of give into it. Okay, you look puzzled.
No.
Yeah? Okay. Also, with the physical restlessness, it's quite interesting to watch what that feels like in your body. Instead of always following it, moving and twitching and stuff, just watch that restless energy. It's quite interesting. Okay, for the mental restlessness, then you need this mental factor of introspective alertness that can identify what's going on in the mind. And when you identify the mind as restless and distracted, then to renew the mindfulness on the object to concentration, be that the breath or the image of the Buddha or the feeling of loving kindness or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just when you're trying to be aware, when you can be aware when you're falling asleep, it's just your introspective alertness has gotten much clearer. Okay, but just being aware, I'm not quite sure I understand your question quite
well. Ride
through their sleep? I haven't heard of that, to be asleep and awake in their meditation. Well, the body's asleep, but the, what? Oh, yeah, well, like Lama Zopa, he sits and he kind of goes like this, but he's going into very deep meditation. I'm sure that his mind is very clear at the time. It's not our mind when it's sleepy. Okay? Same with dream yoga. The body might be resting, but the mind's, might be a sleep mind in the sense that it's a more subtle mind, but the mind is quite alert. Here we're talking about a sleepy mind like we sleep. Okay? Yeah? No, better to wake up. You mean like you're meditating and you're falling asleep? Then it's better to say, I'm falling asleep, and get yourself upright again. I mean, if you're doing Vipassana type of meditation, the way the Theravada do Vipassana, it's interesting, you can sometimes watch as your mind is getting drowsier and drowsier. But then the thing is, to watch the mind getting drowsier and drowsier, but usually your mind at eventually some point goes clunk and capitulates to the whole thing. Yeah? If you can do it so you don't capitulate, that's great. Yeah? But most of us at some point can go into it. Well, when you're dreaming, you know, that if you can be aware that you're dreaming when you're dreaming, that's good. That's providing, some awareness. But it also depends what you do with that awareness. But, when you're falling asleep during your meditation, like I said, you can watch that falling asleep. But then, usually we just join in and fall asleep with it. If you can watch it straight through, that's fine. But, usually it's much better. Especially if, because you want to try, when you're developing concentration, you want to stay on the object of concentration. So if you're, trying to meditate on the breath and instead you start watching, how your mind starts doing these fanciful glittering things as you're falling asleep, you're off your object of meditation. If your object of meditation is the visual image of the Buddha and instead you start following these other things, you're off your object. So, it's better to kind of wake the mind up and go back to your object of meditation. Yeah. When you lie down to go to sleep, then do what you're talking about. Then watch it as you're falling asleep. Okay? Okay, then harmful thoughts, sleep and dullness. Okay, then next one is desire for the five sense objects. Okay, attachment to the five sense objects. Okay, so we're sitting and meditating. I want something to eat. I want to listen to nice music. I want something soft to touch. I want to be with somebody nice to hug. I want to see something pretty. I want to go somewhere. I want to do this. I want, this mind that, that one. Okay, that just is craving sense stimulation. Mind that loves sense stimulation. And I think this is something that's quite difficult for us to free ourselves from because the culture around us is really overly sense stimulating. And I think, again, why I keep on saying, be really careful of your relationship to the media, because the media is one of the main things that gives us too much sense stimulation, so that when we sit down to meditate, it just keeps on pouring in. Yeah. Be careful what you do during your break time, because it's not like meditation sessions and break time are unrelated things. What you do in your break time influences your meditation session. If you're chasing after all sorts of, you know, things of attachment during the break time, when you sit down to meditate, there they are again. You know, I mean, we can see very, very easily. We talk to somebody, we sit down to meditate, what's going through our mind? You know, conversation we just had with somebody, what they talked with us about, our image of, did I say the right thing? Did I say the wrong thing? Are they mad at me? Do they think I'm nice? You know, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, what we do in the break time really influences our meditation session. So again, we're coming back to this thing of simplifying our life. Not going into asceticism, but just basically simplifying our life and, you know, getting rid of the things that really aren't necessary. Makes life much easier. Okay, and then the last of the five obscurations is doubt. So doubt, this is the mind, this kind of, they say it's like a two-pointed needle. Okay, you can't sew with a two-pointed needle because you start to go this way and it jams, and it starts to go that way and it jams. So doubt is kind of like that. Doubt is kind of saying, this meditation technique work. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this meditation. Maybe I should go to the Zendo and do Zen meditation. Maybe I should go and do Vipassana meditation. Maybe instead of meditating on the Buddha, I should meditate on the breath. Maybe instead of meditating on the breath, I should meditate on loving kindness. Maybe instead of doing death meditation, I should meditate on precious human rebirth. Maybe instead of this, I should meditate on emptiness. Maybe instead of that, I should meditate on, you know, this mind of doubt, kind of, you know. I see some nodding heads. Yeah. Okay. So here with doubt, then try and distinguish the kind of doubt that has a genuine question versus the doubt that is just restlessness and the doubt that is this kind of cynical, let's pick a hole and stuff. Okay. So if it's a doubt where you have a genuine question, you're not clear on a meditation technique, then go and ask or read a book or try and get some clarity. If it's the doubt that's restless, then again, recognize it for what it is so that instead of getting involved in it, you can, you know, just kind of leave it alone. Recognize it as one of the old videos. And the same thing if it's the kind of doubt that is the cynical, let's attack, let's pick holes and things. You know, recognize that as an obscuration. Because very often, you know, doubt comes in our mind, and instead of recognizing it as doubt, and here I'm talking about a deluded kind of doubt, not a kind of doubt. I mean, because like, you know, I'm supposed to be meditating in the image of the Buddha, but actually I wasn't listening very well to the instructions. I'm not sure how to do it. That's a completely legit kind of doubt, okay? I mean, it's just a genuine question. You need more information. Great, go out and get it. But this is the kind of doubt that's just like, you know, that's it. You know, and usually instead of recognizing it as that, we start to take it seriously. Well, maybe, I shouldn't be meditating on the image of the Buddha. Maybe I really ought to meditate on the breath. Everybody else is doing that. Now I'm meditating. Maybe I've been doing it at my nostrils. Maybe I should shift to my abdomen. I've been doing it at my abdomen. Maybe I should shift to my nostrils. Or maybe I should meditate on loving kindness instead. Maybe I should do my breath and loving kindness altogether. Maybe I could do that and put a little emptiness. I'll meditate on love when I'm breathing in and emptiness when I'm breathing out. You know? Okay. So, this kind of doubt that...
I thought it was a little weird.
What should I meditate? Okay. Well, one thing is, what I think is really good, is if people in their daily practice can do the prayers that we do here, and then maybe either some breathing meditation or some concentration meditation on the figure of the Buddha, and then do some of the checking meditation on the subjects that we've gone through, either by following the long-term outline or looking at your notes. You know, when you take notes, it isn't just to fill up notebooks. It's, you know, try and get the main points of it and make yourself an outline and think of those points and think of them in relationship to your life. Okay? And then you kind of cycle through the long rim in this way. Or what you can do is pay special attention to the subjects that we're covering in class and really think about those because they're fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
What do you mean? In within one session or within
over a period of time?
Yeah. You mean like meditate on death over a period of time?
Yeah,
that can be very helpful. That can be very helpful. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's if you choose to do something like that, then try and read this prayer, the foundation of all good qualities, because that gives you kind of that cycles through the long rim and gives you an overview of it, and then you can zero in on the particular subject that you're going to spend more time on. And it can be very beneficial, you know, like if you meditate on death for, you know, every day for a week, or precious human life every day for a week, it would be very good. You really start to see some change then. You know, unless, let's say you're meditating on something, and, you know, like, let's say you're trying to meditate on precious human life, and then you get this huge, incredible thing of anger, just this, you know, then you obviously have to switch to a different kind of meditation to calm your anger down. I mean, that's not to say put your mind in the straitjacket, because you can be quite creative. And, you know, you think about one topic and it might lead you into another topic. But you do that with awareness instead of just kind of, you know, dancing all over the place. So can the Buddha, you mean, sometimes be serious and sometimes be smiling and sometimes
be.
I think they say try and get it on so it's basically the same. Yeah. So. Walk away. Bye, Karen. See you next meditation session. Are you visualizing the Buddha? The Buddha falls asleep. Yeah, I'm just following Buddha's example. Man, what do you do? Oh, I'm sure it has some malleability to it, you know, but it's like you don't want the Buddha to be grossly different from one meditation session to the next. Yeah.
Look at what's going on.
Yeah. And there might be one part of the Buddha's body, too, that really appeals to you more. Yeah? You know, it's kind of like you really like the Buddha's eyes. So if your mind starts getting playful and dancing, you know, and Buddha's doing all these things, then go for the eyes and, you know, kind of sink yourself into that again. And back to kind of some part of the Buddha's form that really appeals to you. You mean when you're visualizing and you're, so the image is very beautiful, but you forgot that you're meditating on the Buddha and the Buddha's qualities. Then remind yourself, oh yeah, that's very beautiful. That symbolizes his awareness, the real, you know, the merit he's accumulated for all these countless eons and so on. And you might, you know, there's some teachings on the physical attributes of the Buddha, the 32 signs and the 80 marks. And those all are symbolic of different things. And that might help you to know those, because then if your mind starts getting caught up in the aesthetics of something, then you can remember exactly what it's symbolic of. That's an Abhisamaya Alankara.